On the night of March 28, 2019, in Columbia, South Carolina, this woman, 21-year-old Samantha Josephson, had just finished her degree in political science, so she and her friends were having a girls' night out to celebrate. They ended up at Bird Dog, a bar located in Columbia's Five Points Entertainment District. As the night wrapped up, Samantha was separated from her friends, so she decided to return home. She ordered an Uber and was captured entering a black Chevy Impala at 2:09 a.m. In the morning, her friends realized that she had not returned home, so they tried calling her, but received no answer. They also called Samantha's workplace, and it turned out that she had not shown up for her shift that day. With the help of Samantha's boyfriend, they then attempted to pinpoint her location through a tracking software that was installed on her phone. Based on her movement, it appeared that Samantha had hitched a ride from the bar, but at some point, her phone stopped tracking her location. They then decided to return to Bird Dog, where they asked the manager if they could review the bar's surveillance footage from the night before. After seeing that Samantha had entered an unfamiliar vehicle, the black Chevy Impala, her friends began to fear the worst. Her roommate immediately dialed 911.
911, what's the emergency?
Hi, we were just gonna call to let you know our friend is missing.
Obviously, you want to make our missing person report.
Yeah, it hasn't been like 24 hours or anything, but if we could go ahead and do that, like, that'd be really nice.
Yeah, it don't have to be 24 hours if we report anybody missing.
Oh, I don't know why I thought that.
Oh, no.
Okay, we went out in Five Points last night, and she still hasn't made it home. Her phone's dead. We don't think she, like, went home with, like, a guy or anything. Like, we're, like, actually, like, worried. So.
All right, what is her name?
Samantha Josephson. She is, like, scamming.
All right, we got it. So we're going to send an officer out there and see y'all can make that report, okay?
Okay, thank you so much for the help.
You're welcome. No problem.
All right, bye.
Police were dispatched to Samantha's residence, and after being brought up to speed, a missing persons investigation was launched. While reviewing the surveillance footage themselves, police noticed that the black Chevy Impala had actually been circling the area for about 15 minutes before picking up Samantha. Police suspected that a predator was at large, so they released a community-wide safety announcement and a be-on-the-lookout notice for both Samantha and the black Chevy Impala. 2 hours later, at 3:45 p.m., the Columbia Police Department was contacted by the Clarendon County Sheriff's Office in the town of New Zion. About 65 miles from where Samantha was last seen, turkey hunters had discovered a woman's body in a remote wooded area. Lacerations were found all over the body, including the head, neck, face, torso, leg, and foot. Due to these injuries, the body was unidentifiable, but was wearing the same clothes as Samantha in the surveillance footage. DNA samples were collected, and it was ultimately confirmed that the body was, in fact, Samantha. Chief Holbrook later told reporters that whoever had disposed of the body must have been familiar with the New Zion area, considering just how remote it was. Also, considering the severity of the injuries, the absence of blood on the ground indicated that this was unlikely to be where the murder took place. Police continued their investigation by looking into Samantha's bank records. They discovered that after Samantha's disappearance, there were multiple attempts to withdraw her money from ATMs located in Sumter, South Carolina. They obtained the security footage from the ATMs, and someone wearing a black hoodie, leather jacket, mask, and gloves can be seen attempting to use Samantha's debit card. The next transaction on the bank records led law enforcement to a Wendy's. This security footage captures the same person, now in the black Chevy Impala with a white sheet covering the back seat. Unfortunately, authorities were unable to identify who this person was, but they were now looking for a black male with a black hoodie, leather jacket, and a black Chevy Impala. 12 hours later, at 3:25 a.m. on March 30th, Officer Kraft of the Columbia Police Department spotted a black Chevy Impala 2 blocks away from Five Points. He pulled the vehicle over, and when approaching the car, the smell of marijuana became apparent.
What's going on, sir? You got your license? Get your license on you? I'm Officer Kraft, Columbia Police Department K-9.
Oh, no, sir, I got a license on you.
No, no, license on you. Why not? Who's smoking the marijuana?
I had smoked some earlier, sir, when I was at home. All
right, man, you're going to have to step on out, man. All
right.
All right, here's the deal, man. I pulled your car over because it matches the suspect. Get your hand in your pocket. What are you, crazy? Get over here. Hey, get over here! I can't. I was just gonna see if he'll stop. Bravo, Mike, wearing a gray sweatpants, gray sweatshirt. Makama. Doors blocked, 500 block. Nunez, keep going. He's going to be on your left.
After a brief chase, authorities were able to apprehend the suspect, 24-year-old Nathaniel Rowland.
I got him.
Get on the ground.
I'm going to read your rights, sir, all right? You're the right to remain silent. Anything you say you can will be used against the court of law. Do you understand these rights I've explained to you? Yes or no?
You got anything else on you? Can't run when you smoke, can you? I knew he was going to run.
Officer Kraft returned to the vehicle and was able to conduct a search based on probable cause.
10-4, I'm going to go back to the car.
During the search, he found a pink key labeled room, a USB stick, and a pink iPhone. He suspected that these may have belonged to their 81, which is police code for missing person.
Hey, do you know what kind of cell phone our 81 has?
What one from that was reported today? I haven't heard anything about it.
That's why I stopped it, because it matches the description.
Okay.
I'm finding the girl's cell phone and the girl's keys in the driver's seat. Yeah, that's a pink iPhone. Pink keys with a USB drive. Is it good for students?
Right, yeah.
And the keys labeled room.
Yeah.
So it's kind of weird.
They also found a large amount of blood in the back seat and trunk, along with blood-stained gloves, bleach, wet wipes, and an eviction letter. Kraft asked the passenger, Maria Howard, if she had noticed that there was blood in the back seat. Apparently, she didn't. Additionally, they discovered a footprint on the back seat window, and that the child safety locks on the back doors were activated, making it impossible to open the doors from the inside. Police declared the vehicle a murder scene, and it was sent to the crime lab for testing.
Hey, ma'am. You're not under arrest, okay?
He's going to be detained.
You're just being detained because the vehicle matches a suspect vehicle of a crime that committed earlier, okay?
Nathaniel was arrested and charged for the murder of Samantha Josephson. Both him and the passenger, Maria Howard, were brought to the station for questioning. Nathaniel's clothes were collected and DNA swabs were taken for testing.
Tom. Okay. You saw activity going on around your car. Okay. She bled in the back of your car. 21-year-old girl. Mm-hmm. I can see you on video picking her up. Lots of video.
According to Nathaniel, on the night of Samantha's disappearance, he was at a party and let a friend borrow his car. However, he would not provide names or any other relevant details to corroborate his alibi. When confronted with the surveillance footage, he insisted that the person at the ATM and in the car was not him. He was adamant that he did not go to the Five Points that night and never went to New Zion where Samantha's body was found. Be that as it may, Nathaniel actually grew up in New Zion and his parents still resided there, merely 1 mile from the body disposal site. So, there was a good chance that he was still familiar with the area.
Victim was found deceased in a rural area. Your neck of the woods, where you're from.
But these observations weren't enough to prove that Nathaniel was guilty. Not long after this interview, the DNA results for the blood in Nathaniel's car confirmed that it belonged to Samantha. They immediately brought Nathaniel back to the interrogation room to confront him with the new evidence.
The blood in your car is positive. It's her blood. Okay?
So then, just because her blood is in my fight, means I was the one that did it.
I didn't commit the crime, sir. I did not kidnap or murder anyone.
Unfortunately, Nathaniel does have a point here. The only evidence suggesting that he was in the Chevy Impala on the night of Samantha's disappearance is the low-quality security footage from Wendy's. So the detectives shifted their focus to Maria. Although she had told the officers that she never noticed the blood in the back seat, she later admitted that this wasn't true. Apparently, on the night of Samantha's disappearance, Nathaniel was at Maria's home. She went to bed at 1:30 a.m., but when she woke up in the middle of the night, Nathaniel was gone. At 5 a.m., Maria texted Nathaniel that she was going to be late for her shift at McDonald's if he didn't come back with the car soon. He eventually did, but she was about 40 minutes late to work. On the way to work, she noticed the blood in the back seat, and when she asked him about it, he told her to mind her business. After finishing her shift, she returned home and saw Nathaniel frantically cleaning the car with blue surgical gloves, bleach, and wet wipes. Later that night, Maria saw this clip on the news stating that Samantha Josephson had disappeared after getting in a car that looked exactly like Nathaniel's.
Columbia police say surveillance video shows the 21-year-old getting into a dark car, possibly a Chevy Impala. A license plate number was not immediately available.
Apparently, she didn't call the cops because she was scared of what might happen if Nathaniel found out. When asked why she initially lied about noticing the blood, She said that it was an accident and blamed it on being too tired to think straight. Since Nathaniel was at Maria's house following the crime, she agreed to a search of her residence. During the search, a double-bladed multi-tool with blood on it was recovered from the trash, along with a bunch of wet wipes, paper towels, and clothes covered in blood. The same clothes from the ATM footage. When inspecting the leather jacket, investigators noticed what looked like fingernail marks being dragged down along the side. If the mountain of evidence thus far wasn't conclusive enough, more DNA results came in. Swabs from under Nathaniel's fingernails had traces of Samantha's DNA. The blood on the clothes was also tested, and it too belonged to Samantha. At this point, authorities were confident enough to prosecute Nathaniel, and a court date was set. Nathaniel's parents were interviewed in the following days and were certain that their son had no part in the crime.
You made this thing so bad. I want to know if you did this thing and tell me. That's all I want to know. Tell me the doggone truth.
A tearful plea from Henry Rowland, the father of accused killer Nate Rowland. His parents say they were shocked to learn their youngest child is now charged in the death of Samantha Josephson, whose body was found less than 3 miles from their home. Nate's mother, Loretta, says her son is innocent.
He is a very good young man. And when I talked to him, and I talked to him yesterday, and he told me, he said, that wasn't him, and I believe him. He said, that's not him.
The couple's other son says Nate was not in the car that surveillance video shows the USC student getting into.
My son was telling me that Nate passed out at a house party.
Yeah.
He checked his pockets when he woke up. He checked his pockets. He didn't have his keys. So he walked outside to try to find his vehicle. He found the vehicle, opened the door, seen his keys, and seen all the blood inside the vehicle.
The family is not allowed to visit Nate, but this is what his father wants him to know.
But if you didn't do it, I'm all out for you. You ain't got to worry about it. I'm behind you 100%. And I know he told me, he told my wife he didn't do it. And I know my wife ain't gonna lie about something like that. So I'm behind him 100%. But I can tell you one thing. My son is innocent. And I know that from the bottom of my heart.
Whether it be denial or a genuine belief in his innocence, their plea hardly mattered at this point, as the evidence was quite damning. About a month and a half after Samantha's murder, the 2019 graduation ceremony at the University of South Carolina took place. There was an empty seat where Samantha would have been seated.
Fellow Gamecocks, we must ensure that what happened to Samantha will never happen to any college student in the land or any person ever again. We'll ask, what's my name, before getting into any rideshare vehicle. That will certainly save lives. Class of 2019, on the count of three, as a pledge to ourselves for our personal safety and to honor Samantha Josephson, why don't we repeat on the count of three all together, what's my name? My name is Samantha Josephson. One, two, three. What's my name? My name is Samantha Josephson.
Samantha's family received her degree on her behalf. Leading up to his trial, Nathaniel's family started a GoFundMe proclaiming his innocence to help pay for his legal fees. It had raised $240 in 7 donations before being deactivated soon after. Nathaniel's trial began on July 19, 2021. Prosecutor Brian Gibson presented his opening statement.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, March 28, 2019 was supposed to be a celebration. Samantha Josephson and friends were gathering together as a celebration of life. But what they didn't realize, what they could never have realized, is that the defendant, Nathaniel David Rowland, had his eyes firmly fixed on Samantha Josephson.
He went on to show the 5 points CCTV footage of Nathaniel's vehicle circling around the area multiple times, seemingly waiting for the right time to strike, like a predator stalking its prey. Samantha mistook Nathaniel's car for her Uber and was trapped in the car with the child locks enabled. He told the court that Nathaniel viciously stabbed her to death and described the full extent of Samantha's injuries, painting a grim picture of how twisted Nathaniel must have been to commit such a horrific crime. Prosecutor Gibson also revealed that Samantha's and Nathaniel's phones were traveling together towards New Zion before the app on Samantha's phone stopped tracking her location. Nathaniel ultimately arrived in New Zion where he dumped her body. Gibson suggested that Nathaniel did all of this simply because he was desperate for cash after receiving the eviction letter that was found in his car.
With all things being considered, the simplest explanation is the truth. We believe that the simple explanation is that Nathaniel David Rowland kidnapped Samantha Josephson. We believe that the simple explanation is that Nathaniel David Rowland murdered Samantha Josephson. And ultimately, after you hear all of the evidence in this case, we'll be asking that you return a verdict of guilty of all counts, because he is indeed guilty in all counts. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your patience.
During the defense's opening statement, defense attorney Alicia Good said that the investigators actually collected several foreign DNA samples from Samantha's body, but none of it belonged to Nathaniel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to hear this number again, and that is zero. That's the amount of DNA on Samantha Josephson's body that matches Nathaniel Rowland. Zero. It's not on her clothing. It's not under her ripped and torn fingernails. It's not on her ankles. Ladies and gentlemen, there's zero evidence that Nathaniel Rowland was the one that kidnapped and killed Samantha Josephson.
One of the key witnesses was Maria Howard. Maria gave a more detailed account of Nathaniel's suspicious behavior the day following Samantha's disappearance. According to her, when she asked where her work visor was, Nathaniel said he threw it away because it was covered in blood. And any further questioning regarding the blood was shut down.
What did he tell you?
It had blood on it.
I'm gonna need you to repeat that.
It had blood on it.
He told you that the visor had blood on it?
Yes, ma'am.
What'd you ask him?
Why would the hat have blood on it?
And what'd he tell you?
Mind my business.
Mind your business. And what, if anything, did you notice about the car at that point?
That it was like dry blood in the car, on the dashboard and beside the seats.
And where else did you see blood?
In the back seat.
What did you do when you saw the blood?
I asked him, why is it blood in the car? Did you hit a dog?
And what did he say?
Mind my business.
Maria was then asked by the prosecutor why she did not think to call the police after seeing the news report about the investigation.
Can you again explain to the jury why you didn't call the police then?
Because I was scared.
Scared of what?
For my life and my child.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Another witness was a man named Oshimer Williams, the owner of a phone repair store named Cellular City. On March 29th, 2019, the day after Samantha's disappearance, a man driving a black Chevy Impala came into the store to sell a pink iPhone. When Oshimer was inspecting the phone, he found it peculiar that the wallpaper was a Christmas photo of a white woman. They couldn't agree on a price, so the man left with the phone. After the news broke of Nathaniel's involvement, Oshimer realized that he was the man who had entered his store and immediately contacted the authorities.
Were you working in your store on March 29th of 2019?
Yes, ma'am. I remember, you know, someone tried to sell me a phone that morning.
Do you remember what the person was wearing when they came into your store?
Yes, ma'am. I want to say he had a black hoodie on.
Do you see the person who tried to sell you the phone in the courtroom?
Yes, ma'am.
Where is he?
Yeah, right.
What does he have on?
In the blue shirt and tie.
Please let the record reflect that he has identified the defendant, Your Honor.
It does.
Thank you, Your Honor. No further questions.
Forensic specialist Thomas Beaver took the court through the many stab wounds that Samantha had sustained. He testified that she had been stabbed over 100 times.
When she presented you, what was it that you saw that grasped your immediate attention?
There were two things first. The first thing was that she had an extensive amount of insect activity on the surface of the body. And the second thing, pretty much at the same time, was that she had many stab wounds over the surfaces of the body.
And you mentioned the number 100. Were you able to count the number of stab wounds as you observed Ms. Josephson's body?
Yes, it's over 100. I think somewhere around 120.
Dr. Beaver went on to say that Samantha had lost so much blood that he struggled to get enough blood for a routine testing. He also identified the murder weapon and presented it to the court.
This knife has two blades, and they are relatively parallel. They are bent at the tip, and They're the size appropriate for the wounds that I saw. This is the weapon.
The investigator who took pictures of Nathaniel after his arrest also testified. During cross-examination, she acknowledged that despite Samantha's fingernails being broken and having male DNA under them, there were no marks, scratches, or any other signs of a struggle on Nathaniel when he was brought into the station.
But again, you don't see anything on him, right?
In what terms?
On his face, as far as scratches.
As far as scratches, no, I do not.
You don't see any marks?
I do not see any marks on his face. I do not see cuts on his face.
Same thing with the arms?
Same thing.
Both sides?
Correct.
And his hands? Both sides?
Correct.
Thank you very much. I have nothing further.
During the closing arguments, Prosecutor Dan Goldberg summarized all of the evidence presented and ended his statement with a creative plea for a guilty verdict.
Use your common sense to see a clear picture of what happened March 2019. The clothing, where the body was found, a mile from his house. All of the videos showing the Impala. Mountain Brook, all the trash was found there, the blood, the knife, all the things tying him to that location. The forensic analysis of the phones, the fingerprints, the autopsy. When the smoke is cleared, the picture comes clearly into focus. And there is only one reasonable conclusion. ...21-year-old Samantha Josephson did not deserve this. She was a daughter, a sister, a friend, a girlfriend, and a future law student. Ladies and gentlemen, the state of South Carolina humbly asks that upon consideration of all the evidence, you return a verdict and you find Nathaniel Rowland guilty of murder, guilty of kidnapping, and guilty of possessing a weapon. Thank you.
The defense pushed back, claiming that the state's case was purely based on circumstantial evidence and that they were ignoring key facts to build a ludicrous narrative.
Nathaniel Rowland did not have a mark on him. Not a cut, not a bruise. They checked him, and nothing. The unidentified people that the state wants to just brush off like they're no big deal, they do matter. DNA evidence does matter. Her blood being in the car and Nathaniel Rowland driving the car does not mean that he is the one that killed him. Killed her. What I can ask of you is to not let your emotions dictate your decision. Don't let your emotions, the fact that this is a sad, tragic, heartbreaking case, dictate your decision when you go deliberate. That's what I can ask of you. The state has not proven that Nathaniel Rowland kidnapped Samantha Josephson. They have not proven that he has killed her, and they have not proven that he had a weapon during those crimes. They have failed at meeting their burden. I ask that you find him not guilty. Thank you.
After the closing arguments, the jury was ready to deliberate, and it would take just over an hour for them to reach a verdict.
Indictment number 2019, GS-42450, the state of South Carolina versus Nathaniel David Rowland. This is an indictment for murder. We, the jury, find the defendant guilty.
Nathaniel Rowland was found guilty on all counts, including the first-degree murder of Samantha Josephson. Before Nathaniel would receive his sentence, Samantha's family provided a statement to the court.
Nothing will replace her. Nothing I can say will bring her back. And nothing that I can say I know will ease my family's pain and heartache. No time to say goodbye. No time to tell Sammy all the things I would have wanted to say. No time to kiss her Kevilla. Nothing but memories can fill the emptiness of Sammy's passing. He is pure evil. I pray that he feels Samantha's pain.
In here are over 90 impact statements of friends and family of how they've been devastated for the last 28 months. I have repeated nightmares and visions of him, the monster, stabbing her. I have visions of her taking her last breath. I only wish we could inflict the same or more pain he inflicted upon Sammy. Please, I beg you, please, give him life and never see the light.
Nathaniel's mother was also given the opportunity to provide a statement, but the judge actually cut her off midway through after suggesting her son was innocent.
Because they had accused our son of a crime that he didn't commit. You know,
ma'am, I'm not going to hear
all right,
any claim of innocence.
Okay.
He is guilty of murder, and I'm not listening to any claim of what he did not do.
But he's a loving child. He's a good person. Very respect. And he'll stay up. And I thank the court.
Thank you.
And lastly, Nathaniel had a few words of his own.
Is there anything you would like to say?
Your Honor, I know I'm innocent. But I guess what I know and what I think really doesn't matter. I just wish the state would have done more in finding out who the actual person was, instead of being satisfied with detaining me and proving my guilt. I feel like if they would have done further research in certain areas, I'm sorry.
Nathaniel Rowland was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He will spend the rest of his life in the South Carolina Department of Corrections. In light of Samantha's tragic death, Sammy's Law was passed.
With today's enactment of Sammy's Law, we will give passengers a greater sense of security by clearly and visibly marking the vehicles of rideshare drivers and require drivers to post unique identifying materials so riders can confirm their driver's identity before stepping into the vehicle. I want to especially thank and commend Marcy and Seymour, and Sydney's been with them every step of the way, who in the face of deep personal tragedy have made it their calling to spread awareness about ride-sharing safety through the What's My Name campaign to encourage riders to ask their drivers three simple words, "What's my name?" before entering the vehicle. We cannot begin to imagine the terrible grief the Josephson family has carried. And I'm well aware that this could have happened to any member of our community. The problem with senseless tragedies is that they are indeed senseless. Yet we can and we must strive to bring sense to the world to prevent another tragedy. It is our greatest responsibility to ensure the public safety and to implement smart policies to prevent tragedies so that no other family, friend, neighbor, or community should have to grieve as the Josephsons have and suffer another loss of a bright star like Samantha.